It is my great pleasure to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea Dr. Swami Kriyanandakanda, also known as Dr. Callan Danielle, founder of the Sebastopol Wellness Center, just down the street on Petaluma Boulevard here from us. I have gotten to know his skill at teaching yoga to older bodies on a personal level in a way that has been very effective for this older body. And I've seen his work with others. I'm delighted to welcome him to talk about Sacred Anatomy and Enchanted Physiology, the best title he's come up with yet for his events here. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Swami Kriyanandakanda.
¿Cómo están? ¿Cómo se encuentran hoy? ¿Bien?
English is my second language.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Perfect. So, you know, any questions, anytime, please ask me. I know Spanish, English is not my first language, so I'll do my best. Thank you for being here. Buenas noches.
All I know is namaste.
Namaste. That's in Sanskrit, anyway. But anyway, thank you for being here, and this is an opportunity. Thank you to Many Rivers. Thank you, Rob. For us to learn and share about the body and how it works. I think that's a very important thing for us as humans to know how this beautiful machine is designed and how it works. Because, you know, if we don't understand that, I think, you know, we can go in so many directions. The body can go in so many directions as infinite beings that we are. But starting with something, I'm sorry if I ask you to stand up and sit down a couple times through the whole hour. I think it's very important we move a little bit as part of our understanding the body. It's a body that is... It was designed to walk. It's designed to walk 5 miles a day, because of the amount of calories we eat. It's important we're always moving, and through that movement, we nourish, we detox, we strengthen this body that we live. So, starting from the head down to the feet, I would love to start with one of the most precious places, most magical places in the body, that are inside this this temple where we live, and this place is called the pineal gland. Have you heard about your pineal gland before? Well, tell me, share with me something about the pineal gland. Something you know, something you think is very precious.
It shrinks as you get older.
It shrinks as you get older. Very good. Thank you. That's a good one. What else?
Does it regulate the hormones for sleep?
It regulates the hormone for sleep completely. That hormone is?
I know melatonin.
Melatonin?
Yeah.
It's one of them. Please, share with me something, even just...
The three wise men, when they followed the star to... Bethlehem, I heard it said that the star represents the third eye or the pineal gland.
Pineal gland, yes.
They didn't say that the gland, but they said it represents the third eye or...
Interesting.
Or God.
Wonderful to hear that. I never heard that. I call it, I know it's the term, it can be say like pineal or pineal. I like to call it pineal gland, because it's a pine cone shaped gland, and it's represented in history for thousands of years as a pine cone shape, and they put it in statues, in paintings, in the forehead or above the head. And it's so interesting it's such a beautiful place right there, because it's really an anatomical and a physiological eye. So we have a third eye inside of our brain, anatomically and physiologically designed, and it has all the characteristics as our eyes. And like you said, as we grow, it shrinks if we don't develop, if we don't promote it, if we don't stimulate it, if we don't sleep well, or if we don't practice these beautiful practices from yoga, Tai Chi or Qigong, and many other practices where we do inversion poses, when we bring the head down and the feet above, bringing all the water and all the nutrients into that gland, and all these beautiful exercises, moving, it allows that flow to come up and down and nourish that powerful gland that is produced melatonin. And melatonin is one of the most amazing antioxidants in the world. It's the most powerful antioxidant in the world. So healing occurs from that pineal gland every night we go to sleep. The body releases tons of melatonin, and it goes through the whole body, rejuvenating and restoring, repairing every cell in the body. So what a powerful place to go and visit. By very simple means, we can go into that place. Right? Just by tapping on top of your head in the center. Go ahead and try. Just by tapping in there, or just by pushing gently into it. That's where the soft spot used to be completely, because she used to nourish plenty from the light in there. So just by stimulating there, just by laying down on the floor and allowing the feet to go up and letting all the nourishment to go into the head, allowing that place to be renourished by cerebrospinal fluid, right? And detox by different ways. But it's such a powerful place to visit. And how interesting is that we can develop, we can make it grow, we can keep it growing and expanding instead of shrinking through, you know, good nutrition, through exercise and all these things. So that's a good place to go and practice. And we can keep talking about the pineal gland many, many, many more. But let's keep going to another place that I'm really enchanted with. I want to pass this paper here. How many of you have seen this picture before? I'm sorry, I don't have more, but we can pass. That's the homunculus. And the homunculus. They call it the homunculus. And they pass away, they call it in the medical world, the homunculus. We learn it in the school, and it's a very interesting thing that I really like, impress me, because it's one of the things that this body is designed. And you will see in there how in the cortex, in the brain cortex, your whole body is mapped, and it's mapped in a very interesting way. It's mapped upside down. Why the body is mapped upside down in the cerebral cortex?
Because that's the way that it looks at it. When you look at something, doesn't it get flipped upside down in your
completely.
Brain?
Completely. The brain will flip it upside down completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why, that's how the brain looks at things.
That's the complete answer. Thank you very much. Thank you, yes. So, the body is mapping the cortex upside down. The body is mapped in the eyes upside down. The body is mapping your palms upside down. The body is mapped, the whole body is mapped in your feet upside down. The whole body is mapped in your ears upside down. The whole body is mapped in your tongue upside down. So the whole body is designed in the whole body, in many places, in every cell in the body. So why God, or why, you know, if you don't believe in God or not, but why this body is designed in such an amazing way, where you have the whole body map in your palm, and that's what we call reflexology, right? But it's more than what we think, reflexology. We don't give the whole power to that whole science or reflexology. Why do you think the body, my whole body is mapped right here in my hand, or is mapped in your ear? You can see the head in the lower part, and then you can see how it's represented by a skull in there, and then it keeps going up through the whole place. Your body, the whole body is mapped in your face. We can see, I can see everything that is happening inside of your body just at looking at your face, just at looking at your palms. You can see what is happening in your entire body inside just by looking at your sole of your feet. And then if you know which parts are where, you can help yourself better, right? Because we can see, oh, I have a little bit of redness in my abdominal area. My stomach probably maybe is going through some inflammation. How I can do to support that area now better? Or I can look into my eyes, into my lower eyelid, and I can see, oh, my kidneys are right there and my adrenal glands. Maybe I'm there a little bit tired. There is something I can how I can support that area better. Or I can look at my large intestine around my mouth and understand, look at those lines in those areas. What is happening in that large intestine? Or very simply, I can go in with my hands and I can pressure point in those places to stimulate them and send that reflex, that signal to tone that organ that is being challenged. So it's very simple. Let me tell you, the body is very simply designed in the whole body. Like I said, it's upside down. So if I'm looking at my palm here, and I'm looking at this section here, what part of your body do you think is here?
The head.
In your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, your head and your neck is right there. And then so this section here will be what? My chest, my heart, and anything around that area, in the chest area. And then if I go 2 fingers lower here, what area will be that?
Abdomen.
That will be my abdomen and all my abdominal organs. And what if I go 2 fingers lower there? That will be the pelvis and your feet and your legs and everything. So look at your palm right there and you can see. Let's see if you can see some redness in any area and some whiteness too. Maybe from lack of flow that we can... Check both sides. Everything that is in your hand is not disconnected from the rest of your body, or in your feet. Anything you notice? Anything special around there? An example, I can notice some like dry lines in my lung area. So probably my lungs, they're going through some dryness right now. Do you notice any redness in any area, any red points coming out? That will say that will probably be some inflammation in that area, in that organ that is there. So we can go to the ear and we can see the head is right here, right? But with the head, I want you to think all the parts of the head are there. My pineal gland, my pituitary gland, the whole brain cortex, every part of your brain is right there. And then we can go and squeeze it and see what happens. We can go the other side. So these places, when we touch into them, when we go into them, they're going to create a reflex. So they're going to send a signal, right, to the organ. And then the organ is going to respond back to that place. And that is part of our autonomic nervous system. That's the way the autonomic nervous system work mostly by reflexes. So this is a very important thing. I wish when we were little kids in the school, they were starting to teach us about this. So we can know from the beginning, and then we can go and an example, if we have stress, we can just go to the head area, right? And we can push right there. And with practice, by going into those places over and over through life, the reflex gets stronger and stronger, like when you go to the gym and you strengthen a muscle. So you can have a response that is going to be very healing and very releasing for you.
Is this the same as acupressure?
Same as acupressure, same as reflexology. Yeah, we do some acupressure by pushing in the area, but it's the same as reflexology. So let's see, let's get the tips. Let's go directly into our brain. And we go into the tip and we squeeze with the other tip and let's see what happens. We can go to the next one. Let's see what happens. So with practice, these areas get very strong, and the response, the reflex response, gets stronger and stronger every time we practice. And they all go, they get more efficient and they get more effective. Have you seen yogis or meditators that they bring their fingers like this? What they are doing? What we're doing, we're just stimulating our brain again and again. That's what we're doing. All mudras, we call those mudras. What they're doing is they're connecting, they're reconnecting those parts in the brain that are very powerful for meditation. So this is a very sacred part of the body to learn, that we all humans, we should learn about the body so we can keep this body tuned and working. Let's see, let's try. Let's go and squeeze both sides right there. Let's sit ourselves at the edge of the seat, so we can bring the spine up straight a little bit in there. And let's gently just squeeze those two fingers there gently. And let's see what happens. This is such a beautiful technique to practice, mostly when it's the innate way of the body to handle and manage stress and release stress. Imagine if we were told this from little kids and we just do it and do it until today, how our life would be different just by going to these places in the body, these magical places in the body. An example, in my tradition of meditation, we go to the cortex, right, and the pineal gland and the pituitary gland, and then in the other side, we go halfway on the thumb. What area do you think I'm squeezing right there? I'm activating and reconnecting when I go halfway in my thumb.
Your eyes?
If this is my head here, right, my eyes will be like around there.
Oh.
That will be my thyroid gland. That will be my neck area, a powerful place to go. I love to use this, mostly these techniques when I go to bed, before I go to bed, to prepare myself, to prepare your body, to go and relax your body in different places. And it's such a beautiful thing. This we can also like rub in the tips, and that will also bring a nice response. I can feel my brain tingling. And with practice you will feel it, because the response will get stronger and stronger every time. Reflexology is much more than what we think and what we have learned already. Something to keep in mind. Another beautiful, powerful place to visit, to go and visit. This place has been known as the moon in the yoga tradition. And it's a very powerful place. So we have the sun, the pineal gland, we have the moon, the thalamus, the hypothalamus, and the pituitary gland, that amazing complex system that controls the entire of the body. What will happen if through a lifetime we invert the body, we do all these exercises that allow all the nourishment, inversion poses. Have you heard about them, or anybody don't understand what I mean when I said inversion poses? Mm-hmm. No?
Standing on your head.
Yeah, standing on your head, or
you
or allowing the head to be down on the floor and your feet up. So you allow the fluids to come easier to the head because of gravity. We're always standing, and we're always, you know, the fluids are always being pushed down. But when we do these inversion poses and we bring the head down, that allows the body to flow easier to the head and we can get plenty of nourishment in the head.
So if you just hang your head over the side of the bed, a couch is a good
one. That would be a good one, completely. That would be, we call that one the fish pose.
The fish pose.
In yoga, when we bring the head back and we arch the spine, it's a little bit more complex than that. But that's the main purpose, that we allow the head to go back. That's a wonderful pose to prepare you to go to sleep.
Shoulder stand,
handstands, shoulder stand, head stands.
If you go on a couch and you put your feet towards the back of it and then you put your head down, that's a really, really,
yeah, you can lift up your feet on the couch and
kind of sit backwards with your knees in the
so all those things are going to keep that brain rejuvenated, because really in the brain is where diseases start. That's the place where all diseases start, in your brain. I didn't brought it with me today, but I have a research paper where it shows how, you know, this is a research paper presented in a chiropractic school, where they show that lower back pain, an example, it shows in an MRI in the same place where your lower back is mapping your brain, and that area is shrink. So it starts, you know, that relationship between those two is very important. If we want to keep that brain in check, it's important we bring some of the practices, alternative practices, in our life. So right there where you're looking at, that's where all the main centers of the brain are. And there is a very powerful place, that's a very magical place, system in there. And it's where, if you see, they call those nucleus. And one of those nucleus there, one of those centers there, is where our satisfaction center is. It's where we feel, where we can feel ourselves fully satisfied. Imagine we live life, right, always looking for something, always wanting for things. I want this, I want that, I want to go there, I need to go there, I need to go to the other place. Yogis, for so long, understand that by bringing the energy and redirecting the energy and stimulating and nourishing these places, we can attain what we call samadhi or nirvana. When we go to those places and we bring plenty of energy there, now your body and your life feel fully satisfied, to the point that yogis stay seated, focusing in that place with their eyes and by other techniques, bringing all the energy in there and making that place pulsate and bringing plenty of nourishment into there. And they can sit for days, and they can just sip just a little bit of juice, because they feel so satisfied that they don't need any food. They don't need, you know, just minimum of life and a maximum expansion in our brain, in our brain. Have everybody seen the picture?
No.
No? Oh, it's coming that way. Where is the other one?
Keep passing it.
Any questions?
Top, yeah, of the spine.
That will be right there in the center too,
in the center of the brain.
Yes. Any questions? Anything you want to share at this point?
So the hypothalamus seems to be the real regulator of many systems.
Of all the systems.
Of all the systems. Mm-hmm. What relation does it have to the pineal gland?
The pineal gland. It's like the pineal gland. It's like it's like God in the brain. It's the main chief. It's the one that controls really the whole body, not only sleep. The pineal gland tastes your blood and see how it's if it's too acid, the pH, and it will send the signal to the hypothalamus. To the thalamus to the hypothalamus, to the hypothalamus to the pituitary gland, and then to the rest of the body controlling.
In that order.
The
gland is the master gland.
The pineal gland is the master gland. The pituitary gland we know as the controller gland, because it controls all the other centers in the body. From there down, it sends signals to all the other parts of the body to control all the functions of the body. So from that pituitary gland, we go to the all the other centers of the body that are also very important. And it's important to have a main understanding of these centers, because in the Sanskrit tradition, in the yoga tradition, we call them chakras. But in this side of the world here, we call them plexus. Like the solar plexus is one example, or the pulmonary plexus, or the cardiac plexus, or the heart chakra, or the or the lung chakra, or the manipura chakra, the abdominal chakra. So these places, these centers, control the entire of the body by itself too. They are like little brains, right? So how many little brains we have? How many little main brains do we have in the body?
Seven.
We can, yeah, there are plenty, right? But seven are the main centers. And what is the main center if we go from down up?
The main center?
The main, that little main brain center that is in the lower part. How we call that one?
The root chakra.
The root chakra.
Sex
the root chakra completely, and it's supplying all the organs. Is supplying all the area in there, right? So it's important we keep that understanding. And then we have the next center.
What's the Western medical name for the root chakra?
Inferior, I'm not sure, but I think it's inferior mesenteric plexus, or inferior mesenteric, I'll look for it. Yeah, because then you have the superior mesenteric, that one will represent the second place. And which one is that one? How we call that one in Sanskrit? It's the second chakra, right? And it's the one that from that center, all the organs around there are going to get that supply of energy. So the kidneys, the uterus, the urinary bladder, all those places get that nourishment. And all the area, all around, from back and forward. And then a very important one, the manipura chakra, the solar plexus. And the solar plexus, they call it the solar plexus in the Western science. Why?
The sun.
Because it looks like the sun. It radiates in all directions, supplying the small and the large intestine in the lower part, supplying the stomach in the upper part, supplying the liver and the gallbladder and the spleen and the pancreas. So it's radiating in all directions, and it's very big. So you can even see it when you open a cadaver. You can see all the nerves going in all directions from that center.
Don't we hear that if you want to really get somebody when you're fighting, you hit them in the solar plexus, takes the wind out of them, and stops them in their tracks?
Completely. I think that would be a powerful place. Also because we have a little bone in there that if it breaks, it's very sensitive. Have you feel it there?
Is
you
it
know
right
how
the bottom of the rib cage?
At the bottom of the big rib cage, it's like a triangle pointing down, the sigmoid process. Completely, and that one can be very tender, and the stomach is right there,
so
for
what
sure.
What is the chakra below the solar plexus? What is that chakra?
It's Svadhisthana chakra, 1 inch below the belly bottom.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main use. In the Qigong tradition, the Tai Chi tradition, they use a lot that center because there is a lot of water in that area. And water is energy, right? And then we have the solar plexus supplying the digestive system and all the organs of digestion. And then we have another very important chakra that is not being talked too much, but it's another powerful center. Before we go to the heart chakra, the lung chakra. I'm sorry?
I haven't
heard of that. The lung chakra, yes. We haven't heard about it. But it's very important. It's out there. It's important we bring it out too. And it's very simple. It's just supply the whole lung system. And then we have the heart chakra above that one, right? That's very important too. And then above the heart chakra, we have the thyroid, the throat chakra. So an example, something is happening to you in any of these places. Like an example, kidney. Something is happening in your kidneys. Something is happening in your prostate. Something is happening in your digestive system. Something is happening in your lungs. Something is happening in your heart. we can use the power of our hands to go there as many times as we need through the whole day, 2-3 times. We go and bring those pumps in those places, and those chakras in there, those centers, are going to love it, and they're going to help to heal and balance the body. So let's try one of these places. Which one do you want to try? Let's try the solar plexus. So let's sit straight there. Let's bring those feet grounded on the floor. And let's go to the upper part of the abdomen, to that soft part of the abdomen where the ribs and the abdomen then is there. We are going to open the palms like this, and we are going to make the palms concave. Make those palms concave. Yes. And then let's open far here. And then very slowly we bring those palms. Very slowly. Take your time. Until they land into the solar plexus area. Just very softly, put your palms right there, just touching the skin very softly. And keep your eyes closed so you can feel any subtle movements in there. And let's take 3 deep breathings right there in that place. And feel how that area expands. And feel how that area relaxes. And your palms are soft and they're concave. Very good. And then very slowly we move the palms out the same way they came in. Slowly, slowly out.
Together, that they were too tense. I think we're supposed to be relaxed.
Yeah, soft.
Do that, right?
Yeah, very
That's
soft.
That's why you had them. Okay.
So, anybody want to share anything? Any subtle movements?
I was definitely feeling my blood pulsing.
Your blood pulsing now?
Yeah, in the solar plexus.
In the solar plexus? Completely. It's very powerful. And it's something, like I told you before, it's like going to the gym and you strengthen those muscles and they get big and strong. We can also make that response and that power to increase and get stronger and stronger and get like a very powerful response to heal. It's very interesting how all these centers are very simple, really, when we look how the body works. The physiology of the body, you know, is super complicated, right? Because it looks like there's so many things, but at the same time it's designed very simple. And this explanation, the Chinese people, I really enjoy them very much, because they explain it very simple to us. They gave us the yin and yang, right? Energy and opposites of that energy. And that's the way every center of those centers work in the body. Every gland in your body works like that, very simply. It produces or stop producing. As simple as that.
So is it negative, positive?
Negative, positive, activation, disactivation of the gland. An example, if you're talking about a gland. One example, if I'm going to, I'm digesting my food. Right, I'm eating right now and I'm digesting my food. What is happening in there? It's going to activate, right, all the enzymes for digestion and nutrition and breaking down, all those things. But what is, suddenly a tiger starts chasing me right there. I throw my foot on the floor, I start running. Now it turns off right there. and now we send the blood or the energy to another place. An example, to my legs, to my feet, so I can run, right, and I can hide from that tiger. That is why it's so important that when we eat, we focus in our food, right? Because we want all the energy to go into that place right there when we're digesting our food. So the same way it works in the, if we go to the spleen. When we want to break down red blood cells, it's going to break down red blood cells, or it's going to stop breaking down red blood cells. So really the body is very simply, the complicated part it comes when it goes from the macro to the micro. So it goes from, you know, something like a big organ, and that big organ is going to come in a more little organ and break working in a more little way, but it's going to work always in that same way. It's going to be the opposites. It's going to be that yin and yang, that activation and disactivation of the body. So now to have you all sleep in here, let's practice one technique that is very beautiful. It's another magical part of the body that, you know, it has been in us for when we were born. And it's very interesting because we lose it. Instead of, you know, we lose it, we don't practice it. But when we're little kids, we're running around, and suddenly in the afternoon, we start to feel tired. What do we start doing?
Yawning.
We start yawning. That's a good sign. You can tell right there.
Eating
it's getting
chocolate.
Ready. Huh?
Eating chocolate.
Eating chocolate? To get back some energy? Exactly. But when we're little kids, what we used to do? Do you remember? Have you seen those kids when they're getting tired? What they do?
Cry.
They cry, they take a nap. They do something with their hands. They rub their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They rub their eyes. Have we forgot that one? Rubbing our eyes.
Why did they rub their eyes?
Why we rub our eyes? Why we put pressure in our eyes? Why we rub our eyes? We're going to find that out right now. So let's take out our glasses, let's ground our feet, let's close the eyes so we can feel. And very gently, very softly, with the heel of the palm, with the pad of the palm, we're going to put some pressure, a little bit of pressure in the eyeballs, and see what happens. And you can release the hands out and tell me what happened.
Warm.
Feel warm. What
relaxing.
Else? Huh?
Relaxing,
right?
Soothing.
It's soothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's another powerful reflex that we can strengthen, right? With the use. But immediately your blood pressure drops. And this technique is used in all hospitals, in the emergency room. When you come with high blood pressure, one of the first places they start to poke in is in your eyeballs. Also, they like to push around here where the carotid artery is, so they put some pressure on it, because this is a very relaxing. So what it's doing is relaxing myself, and it's bringing all that energy into my digestive system. It's allowing all that blood flow, all that electric flow to go into here, so it's shifting our body from a more active to a more passive relaxing. How we call that? How we call those two systems in the autonomic nervous system? And one is called sympathetics, right? And the other one is called parasympathetics. Opposite forces. And that's the way the whole body works, into those opposite forces.
What side is the artery on?
Both sides.
The
carotid artery. Both sides.
Sides?
Yes, both sides. And we have receptors there that they send a signal directly to the heart, and the heart will immediately relax and drop the pressure. The same thing in the eyes. Let's go again, let's try one more time. Beautiful system that the body uses to release stress. Getting relaxed in there?
This would be a good thing to do when you have hurried into the doctor's office and they immediately take your blood pressure while you're still
exactly.
Like that, and it's
catching
way
breath.
Up there somewhere. So if you could sit a minute and do this and do this with the carotid arteries and do that with the eyes, that might drop your blood pressure down to a more normal.
For sure. It's a beautiful technique. It's a beautiful exercise which you'll keep practicing.
Yes.
Do you notice something else? Have you noticed? No? More relaxation. You don't notice your breathing, like trying to expand and reach. And that's what we call a somatorespiratory reflex. That's a body breathing mechanism that we can train the body, retrain the body to be very strong in us. So when we need it, we use it and we relax the body and we can handle and manage stress better in our life.
This could help you go to sleep.
It's a wonderful technique to practice when we go to sleep. Before we go to sleep, to prepare the body to go to sleep completely. That's very, very important, very precious. And kids, we should keep practicing it. We should keep doing it, you know, through our whole life to keep that body working properly. What is another interesting part of the body that we want to talk tonight?
Thyroid.
The thyroid gland. Powerful place, for sure. Yes. And it's controlling what? All the power in your body. The power of communication, the power of speech. All the power in the body is controlling that thyroid gland. Mostly because it's controlling the power in every cell in the body. It's controlling the metabolism in every cell in the body. So it's important to keep it very healthy completely, and when it gets, and when we, if we don't, you know, we can lose the strength in there completely, and many things can go in different directions in there. And this is a very interesting part of the thyroid parathyroid complex, the way they work together. Every time our body acidifies, the thyroid and the parathyroid, they were going to send a signal to the bones to take the calcium and the minerals from our bones and our teeth so we can rebalance that pH in the body. So every time we put something acid in our mouth, we eat acid, we acidify the body with food, or our breath gets shallow and now we cannot exhale and breathe, inhale, exhale properly. The body acidifies. And then we need to take minerals out of those places to rebalance and it's like the same way when we're working on our garden. Our garden, if the land is acid, we put some limestone, right? Some calcium into it. And the same way the body works. Mostly, yes.
What is alkaline? Is that considered base? So that's
completely alkaline is considered base. Is, you know, we can go from the
in the
chart.
There's more than one name for these things. Some of these things.
Like
in science class, we dealt with acid and base.
Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about acid and
alkaline.
Alkaline.
Yes.
So alkaline would be the same as base.
For me the base it means 7.0. And then from 7.0 below will be acid, and from 7.0 above will be alkaline. So 6.9 will be acid, and 7.0 will be the base. It will be alkaline.
And that would be, we used to test things with litmus paper.
Yes.
So I've heard that.
You can test your urine that way too.
Yes, exactly. You test your urine that way, and then to adjust your diet to achieve some kind of balance, and I'm not sure about what that really is.
Completely. Let's say, what is the pH of our body?
7.5.
That's the pH of our body. If we talk as the body as what we really are, we are
alkaline.
We're water. Right? We are water. We are from 70% to 85% water, depending which cells you're talking, but it's arranged around there. And this water in this body, while I love to call the ocean in this body, and every cell is being bathed by this ocean, is what we call in the Western science by extracellular fluid. And it's the water that is surrounding every cell in your body, and it's being bathed in this body. And that pH is from 7.4 to 7.6. So, yes.
I have read that disease can only
invade your body when it is in an acid condition.
Exactly.
And
yes.
So one suggestion I read was that if you feel a cold coming on or feel a faint little symptom, that you should take baking soda in water when you arise in the morning to alkalinize your system.
That can be a good remedy. But I'll show you one more powerful than that one. Completely. So if this body is mostly water and the pH is 7.4 to 7.6 and the body is working very hard to keep that pH right there, because if it goes into acid, diseases, that's where they start occurring. And we can, the body can have a, it can have a pH of, if it goes 0.5, so it will, meaning it will go, if it's 7.4 and it goes 0.5, so that will be like a 6.9, we will last just for days. We'll be dead if it stays there. So the body is working very hard to keep that pH at 7.4. You know, in that range, 7.4, 7.6. So what if we eat something acid? Now the body needs to, the thyroid, parathyroid system needs to go and take calcium from your bones, from your teeth, to pour it in that system. So it alkalinizes and bring it back to 7.4 immediately. It's what we call the calcium buffer system. But something that is very powerful that alkalinizes the body in 15 minutes, and it will change the whole pH in your whole body just by 15 minutes of the practice of breathing deeply. So if we cut the exhalation by a quarter, the pH will drop 0.45. So now we have what? 6.95. Just by cutting your exhalation a quarter off. And that happens constantly. That happens when we are sitting in the car. That happens when we're reading. That happens when we're just stagnant. That happens when the breath is not going from the upper part, from the lower part of your lungs up to the upper part of your lungs. So this, well, we're talking about a shallow breathing. Yes.
Why would you cut the inhale, the exhalation, and why not increase the inhalation?
Well, you want
completely,
the exhalation to be longer than
there
the
is a very important that yeah, that's a very important question, because what we're trying, the body, what it's trying to release is carbon dioxide. That is very acid. It's that acid change. You know, when we inhale, for sure, you know, it's important we have a good inhalation too, so we can gather plenty of energy from the air. But the exhalation is going to determine how much carbon dioxide you're releasing. And, you know, carbon dioxide is the one that is going to change the pH inside of your body.
I must not understand. I thought you said reduce the exhalation by...
You don't want to. You want to increase the exhalation.
If you
do
it without knowing it.
Yeah, exactly. We do it without knowing it. When we are sitting watching TV, when we're reading a book, when we are just, you know, that state of relaxation, that the breathing is start to get shallow. But what if, yes?
My friend and I were in a meditation class on Wednesday, and mindfulness meditation, and we were asked to inhale to a count of 4 and exhale to a count of 7.
Completely. We want to double the exhalation, and that's the next part I'm going to bring here. What happens when we exhale double? So we cut one quarter, it's 0.45. If we double the exhalation, what happens?
That was more bad.
The pH will raise 0.25, around 0.23, 0.25. So now we have a 7.6, 7.4 alkaline the body. Just by 15 minutes of practice of nice inhale and allowing the exhalation to be double. And this is big part, because all diseases, most of all diseases start right there when these bodies start to be challenged. So now we can excel a little bit more, and now it's very easy for the body to live, to be at ease, and that's one of the things we're looking for. Completely. Thank you for bringing that.
Thank you.
Yes, that is why in all yoga, most all yoga traditions, we love to work the breath. It's a very fundamental part of yoga, breathing work, pranayama. What we call pranayama. Mostly because we're getting tons of energy right through the air. The air is full of energy, and it's full of many other gases that are also food for the body. But the main thing we is important we understand is that in that air is full of energy. and that energy is entering into the body. And this is a very precious place, very sacred place, sacred, very sacred anatomy of this body that has not been taught to us before. And is in right there in that place where that forehead is, there is a very interesting bone we call the ethmoid bone. And that bone inside there, it has many, many, many holes. Because through those holes, a big, big nerve is sprouting out in contact with the air. And that's that nerve, in the Western science, we call it the olfactory nerve, cranial nerve number one. And in the Western science, it's not recognized. Well, you can read it like in between their, you know, in between their lines. But that nerve, when we breathe, we're gathering tons of energy that is nourishing directly into the brain. We think they, you know, we know that the lungs are getting all the air, and from the lungs it goes to all directions. But there is another place where we gather all the energy from the air and goes straight into the brain. And we have different techniques to develop that place and make that place be nicely fulfilled with tons of energy. That nerve goes straight into the brain, supplying like two bundles of cables, electric cables, going into the brain. And we have the lungs, right, gathering tons of energy too. But that the lung area is supplying mostly of the lower part of the body. But the brain, because it needs so much energy, is a power center, it's a powerhouse of electricity. You have that place in there. And that's a very sacred place that we practice in many traditions, like in Kriya Yoga. That's one of the main places where we go to practice and develop that place, so we can even gather more energy, and we can awaken areas of the brain that are dormant, that are not receiving the full of the potential that we should be receiving.
Now we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth.
Through the nose.
And because, well, in a contemplative living book that I have, it, they have different ways of doing it, and then another one says to keep your tongue curled up to the roof of your mouth.
Completely. And that's a powerful place to go, completely. You know, there are different breathing techniques with different purposes, but one of the main things we practice in probably in all traditions is to bring the tip of the tongue up, right? What we're doing when we bring the tip of the tongue up, we're redirecting energy into those powerful places we're just talking. If you bring your tip of your tongue to the soft palate, back, very back behind, you're redirecting the energy to your pineal gland. If you go and put your tongue in between the hard palate, right there in between the soft and the dome, because it goes like a dome that goes up and then goes down, and then it goes to the soft palate after that. So if you put the tongue right there in between, we're redirecting the energy to your pituitary gland. And then if we bring the tongue behind the teeth, right there in the dome when it starts to go up, we are redirecting the energy to that place there. That is a very powerful place. That ethmoid bone, it have a very special place because it's where our crest is. Every animal in this world have a crest. And that crest is splitting our prefrontal cortex. That's a powerful, magical place also to go and visit. Because from our prefrontal cortex is our higher consciousness place. That's where we make all our decisions and judgments and many, 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 many other things. And when we focus in those places through meditation techniques, those places keep expanding and growing. There is another research paper where it shows us how meditators have bigger brains than the rest of the population that doesn't meditate. Because the brain is always expanding and growing if we nourish it properly. If we don't, it starts to shrink and get smaller. And that's what we see in cadavers. When we open a cadaver and we look at their brains, all diseases start right there, where that brain starts to shrink and the supply of nutrients and toxins, they don't release properly. And then when we use one side of the body more than the other one, we can see how one of the hemispheres is bigger than the other one. And balance, we take the body out of balance from there, from that beginning in the body. So, and thank you.
Well, I could ask you, go back to the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I was just imagining that breathe in, you know, tongue is in one place and then the next time your tongue is in another place.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, or should you just keep doing it in one place for a while?
Completely. I like to do it in the three places. Completely. I like in the mornings when I do my meditation, I will go to one place, and then when I meditate in the afternoon, I will go to another place.
Oh, okay.
And when I go to sleep, I like to bring it even behind back so it activates my pineal gland so she works even better through the night. So you can alternate completely all the places. And what happens when you keep the tongue up there? Let's everybody bring the tongue up there. Let's see what is happening.
Right on behind the teeth.
Let's bring it, choose one of the three places and hold it there for a while. Don't let it go, okay? Try to keep your jaw relaxed, the rest relaxed, but let's keep the tongue up there. And let's sit in the edge and let's relax, let's inhale, exhale. Keep it up there. Use the least of energy you can. Just very gently touch it in there. And then very gently, with the tip of the tongue, push up very gently, just like massaging that area where you're touching. Just very gently. And don't bring your tongue yet down. And let's let the tongue go down and see what is happening in your lower part, below the tongue. What is in there?
Below the tongue?
Yeah, right down there.
Saliva,
right?
Yeah.
We're producing more saliva. And that saliva that we're producing in there is very powerful. This is what we call Amrita, or this is what we call elixir, the nectar of the moon. This is the real elixir. I know there are many products out there that sell elixir. This is the real elixir we're talking in life. Because that saliva is very full of enzymes that they attack, you know, bacteria, viruses, fungus, any toxins that goes. And in meditation, we keep that tongue in there, we produce some of saliva, then we swallow that nectar. That is very healing for the whole tract. So that's a very special place to visit, for sure, and practice.
When I put my tongue there to the soft palate, then I get a yawning reflex, or my jaw wants to go up and down.
Hmm. Interesting.
So
trying to release some stress.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Something I learned from sitting cross-legged or like this for meditation to help the one foot that falls asleep to wake up again was to press a point at the tip of the big toe. Do you know what happens? I mean, all I do is do it. I press it like 1, 2, 3 times and it just like within seconds it just wakes the whole, not just the foot, I mean the whole leg just wakes up again.
Interesting.
Do you
I never heard that about.
Okay.
You're pushing into your head.
Pushing into my head.
You're pushing into your head when you push into your big toe.
Uh-huh, yeah, right.
This is your head, right? This is your brain.
I'm just doing right there on the outside at the tip.
So it's interesting, I never heard about that.
Yeah.
Huh.
let's see your socks.
Oh, yeah. It's they're cool. I like them very much. Mostly because when we walk, it's very important we stimulate all the parts of the foot, including the toes, because our toes represent our head, our brain. So we want the flow to come back and stimulate that brain, is very important. We use all our toes, so it's important we promote as much as we can barefoot, you know, walking barefoot and stimulating all those places. Very, very important. So, any other questions? Anything we want to share? You want to share with us?
What is the medulla oblongata?
The medulla. Completely. It's a place that many centers are in there, and it's in this area. Right here in between the brain and the right, almost in the opening where the brainstem is part of the brainstem part. So, you know, they're beautiful centers. They're one of the main centers is the respiratory center. It's in that area completely, and it's important to keep it healthy. Yes, it's a powerful place. It has been known for ancients to go to the, you know, to keep that area. working properly. And by means working properly, the way we sit, the way our posture is very important, because that medulla oblongata can get blocked by the posture. If our head is there is, well, let me tell you something a little bit before we go into that. We have in yoga a technique where we bring the chin to the chest. Have you seen that before?
Mm-hmm.
No? So what it's doing, that technique, is if you see the spinal cord, right, from the bottom up, and then, you know, when we get here to the brainstem and the medulla oblongata and the tons and all that area in there, imagine it's like if you take a hose, you know, a water hose,
mm-hmm.
and you bend the top, and then what happens to the water?
Stops,
right? Start to create, what is happening in this part here? Start to get pressure. We start to increase the pressure. So then if we open it a little bit, what happens? Right? It goes in very, very fast, a lot of pressure coming out. So yogis, we know this very well. So this is a wonderful way to super nourish our brain, by just allowing to lock a little bit in there. But what happens if our life is already like this? We are cutting the circulation to the head, to the brain. That is why I don't like to teach that technique too much already, because we are so much head forward already that we will keep cutting that energy. So I like to promote back bends, you know, so we can bring that energy to flow. And that's a great question, because that medulla oblongata is right there and it's being restricted in flow. And then our breath gets shallow, our breathing gets shallow, and many other things can happen after that. What else?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. Thank you, thank you. What else? Any area of the body? I think we cover a lot of it.
Well, when I was with the physical therapist and I was doing things for my neck, and she told me about, you know, this, and she said, don't put your head back. Maybe it's because of my condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put your head down and everything, but don't put it back. And I know how that would pinch.
Completely.
So.
Yes, that's very important. I really enjoy, I like to promote to bring the head back. But sometimes we need to go in steps to get into there. We need to take our time to build that again. And one of the main things that happens is because of this amazing body of water, right? And look at this winter, how dry how it has been. So that means we need to triplicate the amount of water we're drinking, maybe. And our food should be plenty with water on it. Because one of the things that happens is that, you know, when we wake up in the morning, all the discs in the vertebra, right, the whole spine, they are nice and big and very nice, right, because they have a lot of water inside. But then through the day, we walk and we squeeze the spine, so those discs squeeze out the water. And then we go to sleep, we lay down on the bed, the spine relax, and like a sponge, absorb again the water. So we may have some shrinking of the disc that it haven't not been replenished. So when the disc shrinks, the vertebras, in between the vertebra, the nerves are coming out in between each vertebra. And so there is not enough space. So sometimes when we bring the head back, it's pinching in those areas. So it's a complicated area. We live our life dehydrated, and we dehydrate ourselves in a lifetime. And all diseases, main cause is dehydration. And there is a beautiful book I would love to share with you, and the name is Don't Treat with Drugs. Treat with Water. It's this MD. He wrote this. What is the name of the book? One second. It's very precious book. Very, very nice. It really opened my eyes when I said, oh my God, I'm dehydrating myself right now. I start to drink water. What is the name of that book? I'm so nervous right now.
do you sip water or do you drink it?
I chew my water.
You chew it?
Chew the water completely. It's very important when we drink water that we bring the water to the same temperature of the body.
Hmm.
If it's too cold, the body will need to put energy to warm it up, because the body's temperature is very important for the body. And if we drink cold things, it's going to take energy from you, and it's important we chew that water before we swallow it. So it's better absorbable. It's going to have all those enzymes, right? When we chew the water, we'll put plenty of enzymes. A beautiful technique I love to practice is to, you know, get a good amount of water and chew it 70 times. And you will see how all the nutrients, you know, are going to be better absorbed in the body from the water. The water is going to get nice and sweet, and that's another nectar for the body, too.
Well, how much do you drink a day?
I don't know, like 2 gallons almost?
Yeah,
yeah. a gallon of water.
That's like 2 hours to drink your water.
I know, it takes so much. Right now, I'm so dehydrated. Even though.
Well, that we spend a lot of time on
water. What about hot drinks? Cold drinks to cause your body to have to work.
Well, hot drinks are going to work better, but also if they are too hot, the body, well, let's look at it this way. We have an enzyme in the mouth that is called alpha amylase, and she works to, you know, to the temperature of the body. So if we drink too cold or we eat too hot, that enzyme is not going to activate and it's not going to work properly. So it's important we bring, that is why cooking your food is very important, because it's good that we bring the temperature, you know, to the body when we eat it. That's an important part. I know there's some recommendations sometimes if you want to take out and release phlegm, to sip the water very, very hot, right? That's a different technique that have their purposes. Completely, because we have a lot of phlegm that we hold in the esophagus, in the tract. And just sipping hot water, it helps to release that phlegm. But I always recommend same temperature.
Well,
bringing
does that mean you boil the water first? Or, I mean, we're all told, aren't we, that cold water is safer than hot water out of the tap?
I don't know. Where'd you get that?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe that's not so.
Well, I think the idea behind that, as I understand it, is that hot water from a hot water heater is picking up metal from the sitting in the tank, the hot water tank.
Uh-huh. If it's lined with glass,
well,
that
may be the case, but not all of them are necessarily.
Maybe that's where it started.
Yeah, that's the idea. So,
okay.
But hot water heated, like you were making tea or something like that, is different.
I have a friend who always drank a glass of hot water upon arriving.
Completely. That's what I do every morning. Every morning I wake up, I heat up my water, I have this big mason jar, I put it there, I'll put some fresh oregano into it, or maybe some fresh ginger, or maybe squeeze a little bit of a lemon, or some peppermint tea, or good tea, and just drink plenty of water in the morning, just right there when you wake up. That will make your body clean right there. It will create a bowel movement. Is going to make you pee also, so your body will be, your pH will be nice and ready for the day.
Okay.
Completely. Thank you.
Well, I wish we had more time for you to tell us your ideas of nutrition, because I understand that's something that you're.
Thank you.
Promote.
I would love to very
love
much.
To come back again.
Yes, completely. But nutrition is a big part, and that's it's a very precious part. Completely. Yes,
I know a place in Santa Rosa, and they say their motto is SOS, no salt, no oil, no sugar.
True North.
True North?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then other people say, well, you have to have oil for your brain. You have to have
completely.
Fat.
Fats are very important for your brain. Good fats, healthy fats. The freshest, the better, for sure. And depending if you're vegan, you know, it's important you have your nuts, your almonds, your walnuts, you know, your olive oil. You know, olive oil will be the last one too, because it's already a little bit processed. But the walnuts and the almonds, and it's important those walnuts and almonds are well prepared too. It's important they are soaked in water.
Well, I have a friend. She soaks them, bakes them in the oven, and then she takes all the skins off.
Wow.
And then if she wants to, she grinds them up. Well,
completely. We can soaking them is enough at least. Because
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
That's how you want to spend your time.
And if you eat, you know, if you eat meats, it's important we get, you know, a broth, the bone broth, are wonderful to nourish the nervous system, because your nervous system is fat. It's more than 60% fat. Your nervous system.
What about avocados?
Avocados, those are different. Avocados are different. Avocados are a very special fruit. Very special fruit of the tree. They are different from all the other fruits in the world, in the vegetable world.
They are a good fat?
They have good fats and bad fats.
Ah.
Plus, they have a very interesting characteristic that none other fruits have. And do you know which one is? What happens if you have an avocado tree? And the avocado is there, right? And you wait for it until it matures. And it, you know, when it goes, how you call that? When it goes ripe. It will never ripe in the tree. You need to cut it green. You need to save it. You need to put it out. And then that's where he starts to get ripened right there in that process. And that's where you eat it. So when you eat it that way, it's very difficult for the body to digest, because it's in that, we call it the meristematic process of the cell, is being affected by that, because it's ripening in your body,
yeah,
instead of eating it ripe already, fully ripe.
But you can ripen it before you eat it.
But it's not fully ripe still.
When it's pretty black, it's ripe.
You don't recommend eating avocados?
You know, just for fun, and you know, if you for fun, you want to make this guacamole party you have, you know, enjoy it for sure. But to get my fats, I don't wait for the avocado to ripe.
Where do you get your fats?
I get from almonds, walnuts, I get it from olive oil. That will be the, you know, the least I will. But we have beautiful local almonds here. We have also local walnuts that are wonderful to have completely, to enjoy, yes.
So are you the director of the Basketball Wellness Center?
Mm-hmm.
And what goes on there? You do yoga there?
We have yoga therapy, chiropractic, colon hydrotherapy.
Say that.
Colon hydrotherapy. So we are a group. We are a team.
Okay.
And we have different modalities. We offer also massage therapy.
That one.
So it's a whole, and nutrition too.
Where's your location?
Next to Palm Drive Hospital. Right there, same parking lot.
Is it on Palm Avenue?
No. It's
Petaluma Avenue.
Yes, Petaluma Avenue. In that main road in front of Palm Drive Hospital,
mm-hmm,
right there to the right side. It's almost in the same parking lot. You can come like on the second entrance to the hospital and make a left where the, I think the
mm-hmm
old hospital used to be. Right there. Dr. Holmes is there.
Okay, so there's the West County
mm-hmm
clinics.
Yeah. And then the hospital comes.
The hospital.
And then the next building is.
So is it? It's down, the parking lot is lower,
uh-huh,
and there's the parking lots there, and there's a row of doctor's offices,
yep,
and things there.
Right there.
Do you do yoga and exercises and
mm-hmm
yoga classes?
Yeah, completely.
Do you have group classes?
Yeah.
Right.
We have your
you
classes
have
in there. Yes,
you
I brought a brochure. This is from one of my classes that I'm offering right now. So you can take one if you want from my anatomy and physiology course. It's a very interesting course because it's a holistic, integrated course where we do drawing, we do exercises. So we study the body from a very different perspective, usually, like being taught there. So thank you.
So you're a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you study?
I started here in Hayward.
In Hayward?
Mm-hmm.
There's a school of chiropractic?
Yeah, Life Chiropractic West in Hayward. I finished in there. I started in Atlanta, and then I came here to finish because of my wife. She's from here, from Sevastopol. So now I'm here. Really. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
So feel free to come and get one of these brochures, grab stuff with the Festival of Conscious Parenting fundraising event over there, and schedules for the rest of the month. And thank you all for coming tonight. And we also have the donation bowl over there, which we share with our speakers, and also use the proceeds to maintain our space here. So thank you all tonight.
Buenas noches.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
This is
oh no.